Hello, I'm Lee Benton, pastor of the Open Door Baptist Church. Our congregation and myself would like to take this opportunity to thank you for listening to the sermon today. Our prayer is that the message will help you to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. May the Lord bless you and keep you is our prayer.
Acts chapter 2, verse 1 through 4, read in your heart as I read aloud to you. The Bible says, "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire. And it set upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." Our Heavenly Father, I pray in Christ's name you'd help me. In the time that I have today, I pray that you'll use me, you'll not refuse me. Surely there's a work that you can do through me today for your glory. I ask you, Lord, to do that. I pray that you would bless the nursery worker, the children's minister worker. I pray that you would bless their efforts. Help this preacher. Without you, I'm nothing. I pray if there'll be one in the pew lost on their way to a devil's hell, today will be the day that they'll accept you as their Savior and Lord. And Lord, if there'll be a Christian in here that's got bitterness, negative, spirit, Lord, anything that's there that shouldn't be there, I pray today that Holy Ghost of God will deal with their heart, and they'll get right with you, and they'll be ready to go forward in their Christian life for your glory. Help me now, in Jesus' name I beg you, amen and amen. Now, you that have been coming on the last, I guess, three, four Sunday mornings that I've been here, I know I was gone to Tennessee and a couple weeks ago, but you know that we've been in the book of Acts, and we've been studying from verse by verse, chapter 1, and now we're going to get into chapter number 2. Now, you remember that it was 10 days ago, according to the biblical record, that Jesus ascended up to heaven at the Mount of Olives. We know that after the resurrection, Jesus walked upon this earth for 40 days. And after the 40 days, he was ascended up to heaven. And now he told his disciples to go back to Jerusalem and the 120 total that was there, and to go to the upper room and there to wait on the fulfillment of the promise of the Holy Spirit's coming into and upon their lives. Well, in chapter number 2, the Bible lets us know about Pentecost and how that these Jews were there in Jerusalem and they were celebrating this Jewish feast. Now, the actual word Penta means 50. Pentecost was a Jewish feast that they celebrated every year, and they celebrated it 50 days after the Feast of the Passover. Of course, you know the Feast of the Passover was probably the most sacred, most holy feast that the Jews participated in because it was symbolic of the death of the sacrificial lamb. You remember the book of Exodus, how the Bible told Moses and the Jews, the Hebrews, as they were in the Egyptian captivity, that that last plague would come that very night, and the death angel was going to take the life of all the firstborn of those who did not have the blood of a lamb coated upon the doorposts and sideposts of their door. And, of course, you know that the Bible says in the book of Exodus, "When I see the blood, I will pass over you." And because the blood of Jesus now covers our sins, you and I will not have to go to eternal death, which is hell. Amen. And so that was a very sacred, a very holy time, was Passover. But 50 days later, they celebrated the feast that is known as Pentecost. And it is 50 days since our Lord has resurrected from the grave. And the Bible says that they have gathered in one place. Now, I want to share with you just a few things today, and I hope that you'll listen. I hope you may have a pen there with you, and you'll write some of these points down. And they'll really help you in your growth and your study as a born-again believer in Jesus Christ. But I want to say to you, probably the most misinterpreted and the most misunderstood scripture in all the Bible, personally, my own opinion, is the second chapter of the book of Acts. There is actually a denomination that is all around us today that believes that what they believe Acts chapter number 2 is the foundation of their beliefs and of their convictions. Of course, that group is called the Charismatics or the Pentecostal. And they will tell you to their blue in the face that Acts 2 is the foundation of what we believe about the Holy Spirit in general. And there's a lot of things they'll believe, and we're going to get into that as we study that. But let me say this. My grandparents are Pentecostal folks. My grandparents are saved, but they're mixed up on their doctrine. I wish to God, I've tried to talk to my grandmother, and she's always been Pentecostal, always been charismatic. She's going to heaven just like I am, but she's just mixed up on her doctrine. And so the very scripture that the Pentecostals, the charismatic movement, uses in Acts 2 to support, or they say supports their beliefs, is the very scripture I'm going to show you today and probably next Lord's Day, Lord be willing, is the very scripture that proves that they are in error and that they are wrong in their doctrine. Now, I want you to notice some things about Pentecost. Notice some things about Pentecost. I mentioned to you earlier, I think this is good to know for you that are Bible students, but the Passover, the feast of the Passover, whenever they celebrated the death angel passed over their firstborn, the Hebrew firstborn there in the land of Egypt. And we today celebrate Passover because it was the time we look back that Jesus, the Lamb of God, can I get a help today? Jesus, the spotless, sinless Lamb of God, sacrificially gave His life, shed His blood, and since we've been saved, His blood has been washed away our sins. His blood now covers us, and now death, eternal death, hell, has passed over us. I'm not going to hell. I'm going to heaven because of the blood of Jesus Christ. I've been passed over, and now I'm going to heaven. Amen? And so during the Passover, though, the priest would offer up one unleavened loaf of bread. One unleavened loaf of bread. You ladies know about leaven. You know that it's used to make dough rise. It's a substance used to make dough rise when you bake it. But unleavened speaks about purity. It speaks about holiness. It speaks about pureness. And there's only one loaf that was given to God, a ceremony given to God. It was unleavened bread because there was only one that could die for our sins. There is only one that can save, and He has no sin. It's not leavened bread, it's unleavened, holy, pure. But when you look at the Feast of the Pentecost, there were two loaves of bread that involved. Pentecost took place at the beginning of the harvest. And what the priest, the high priest would do, he would take two loaves of bread and he would offer it up to God, the first two loaves of the harvest. He would offer it to God in giving thanks and showing their gratitude for the harvest that God had given them. Much like our first Thanksgiving with the pilgrims and the Indians when we offered up our gratitude at the harvest. You remember that, if you know your history. And they would offer up their gratitude. But these two loaves were not unleavened. They were leavened bread. Now, the Old Testament, there's a lot of symbolism in Pentecost, and don't get bored with this because you need to know this. There's a lot of pictures and types of Pentecost. The early Jews during the Bible days, so to speak, when the Lord walked upon the earth, even prior to that, before He was born in a manger in Bethlehem, they celebrated the Feast of Pentecost to remind them of when God gave the law to Moses on Mount Sinai. You remember it involved not one but two tablets of stone. Can I get a witness? So they offered up two leavened loaves of bread, one for each tablet, to show their gratitude for the law of God was given to them. But since Jesus has died, and since He is resurrected from the grave, you and I, as the New Testament church age, living in the dispensation of grace, living in the New Testament church era, we enjoy Pentecost because we are reminded of a fulfillment that God made in the book of Joel, and that was the Holy Spirit will come, and He will come upon you, and you'll be able to do things for the glory of the Father that you couldn't do without His touch. Let me tell you something. I was talking to the pastor there at the church where my children are going to school, and we kind of had church in the gym. Now, you know, if you get talking to me about the Lord and the Bible, I can get going. Amen. I'm ready to preach no matter if I'm in the Walmart or if I'm in a pulpit. I can preach. Amen. And we got preaching back and forth, and he got talking. I said, you know what we churches need more of? The need to touch of the Holy Ghost. Can I get a witness? They need the touch of the Holy Ghost. And I'm telling you what, a lot of folks are operating without His touch. They taught Sunday school today that didn't have His touch. They sung a song today that didn't have His touch. There are preachers today that are preaching. They may know how to say the right words, and they know how to put a sermon together, but they're lacking the touch of the Holy Ghost. And I'm telling you, without God's touch on your life, you can't be the Christian and be the servant of the Lord or the witness that you need to be. We need His touch. Can I get a witness? And so we look back at the fulfillment of the promise of the book of Joel, chapter 2, I believe verse 28, when God said, there's a day coming when the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, will descend from heaven. He will come from God. Why? Because He is a gift of God to you and I, and He will come from heaven, and He will endue with power His servants so they might do the things that are due for His glory. I tell you, in this wicked world, you and I need the power of God. If we're going to be the Christians we ought to be, we need God's power. And that's what happens here in Acts chapter number 2. Now, there's scripture. Let me read some of these scriptures. Don't turn there because I'll be very fast as I read this. Matthew 3:11. John the Baptist said, I indeed baptize you unto repentance with water. But he that cometh after me, which is Jesus, he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. John 14, Jesus said, I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter, even the Spirit of truth. John 15, Jesus said, but when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, He shall testify of me. That's why I say so often, we don't believe in easy believism here. We don't believe you can stick a Bible on somebody's nose and say, you want to go to heaven? Yeah, I want to go to heaven. Pray this polywanna-cracker prayer and you can go to heaven. Repeat after me. No, you must be Holy Ghost convicted before you're Holy Ghost converted. The Holy Ghost must draw you, and when He draws you, persuades you to the Lord, then you are saved. And so thank God for Holy Spirit. Amen. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. All three are one. Amen. The Trinity of the God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And so Pentecost is a very misinterpreted, very misunderstood time. And the feeling of the Holy Ghost is very misunderstood by so many people today. And I don't want you to live in error. I don't want you to live and believe some doctrine that does not line up with the Bible. I said earlier, the very scripture that they use to support their beliefs is the very scripture God ordained to give us to show us that it is an error, it is a false doctrine. And so as we look at Pentecost, I want you to notice some things. First of all, notice the sounds of Pentecost. Notice the sounds of Pentecost. The Bible says that in Ephesians 5:18, it says, be ye filled with the Holy Spirit. The problem with, and I'll get into this probably some more here in a little bit and later on, but the problem with the charismatic movement in their doctrine is that they believe that they can get parts of the Holy Spirit. They can get, they'll say, well, they've got some, or this person's got more. But listen, Holy Spirit is a person. You don't get a person in parts. Can you imagine February the 14th? 1998, thank God my wife's not in here. 1998, when I got married, I got saved in 96, called to preach in 97, got married in 98, and 13 months later in 99 had Morgan Benton, our first baby girl. And so when we look at this, I want you to understand, you don't get the Holy Spirit in parts. He's a person. I can't even imagine Ted coming to me at the married altar and said, well, here's Angie's two arms, and after so many months, you'll get her two legs, and then you get and piece by piece, you'll get her, and you can put her all together. Maybe, hopefully, you know how to put all the parts together. Amen. No, but we don't get the Holy Spirit like that in parts. He's a person. Can I get a witness? And these people believe you get saved, and then you get filled or the Holy Ghost later on in life. The Bible says as soon as you are saved, then the Holy Spirit abides in you. How can you be reproved of sin as a Christian if the Holy Spirit's not in you? How can you be comforted when you go through sorrows and trials if the Holy Spirit is not in you? The Bible says that He will come when we are saved. It's called the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That's talking about being converted. And what's so foolish about praying for the filling of the Holy Spirit, and I'm using that word because the Bible says be filled, and I'm using them opposite of each other's meaning. Some people say you got to be filled up with the Holy Ghost. But the word filled in the book of Ephesians 5:18 means to be controlled by. When the Apostle Paul wrote to the church of Ephesus, be ye filled with the Holy Spirit, he was saying, be you controlled by. The question literally is not, do you have the Holy Spirit? The question you need to be concerned about, does the Holy Spirit have you? Come on, help me preach a little bit. It's not, do I have the Holy Spirit? Does the Holy Spirit have you? Are you totally surrendered to His work? Are you yielding to His work in your life? Are you yielding to His conviction and His leadership and His direction? Jesus said the Holy Spirit would come and He would lead us unto truth. If you're not following the Holy Spirit, you're in error. And that's what's wrong with a lot of people today. They're not following the leadership or guidance of the Holy Spirit, and they're in error. They're living in false doctrine, false beliefs. But you and I, since we've been saved, we've been given the Holy Spirit. He abides in our life. He teaches us. He comforts us. He guides us. And what's so foolish about people praying for the Holy Spirit, I'm talking about the Holy Spirit's touch, totally different. But they're praying for the Holy Spirit to come down on them is that they're praying for God to fulfill a promise that He's already fulfilled in Acts chapter number 2. They're already praying. They're asking God to fulfill the promise of Joel 2:28, the Holy Spirit will come upon them. They're asking God to fulfill a promise that He's already fulfilled. Amen. Those people that are asking God, fill me with the Holy Spirit, Lord, come down upon me, they just need to be saved. Because you get saved, boom, that's when you get the Holy Spirit. Amen. And so be filled by means to be controlled by. So that's why I'm saying you may have the Holy Spirit, but does the Holy Spirit have you? Is He leading and guiding? Are you following His leadership? So the sounds of Pentecost, the Bible says in verse 1 and 2, I'm hearing it, that when the day of Pentecost, this feast, Jewish feast of the Hebrew sacred calendar, had fully come, 50 days after the feast of Passover, 50 days at this particular year after the Lord had resurrected, they were all 120 with one accord in one place. Watch this. I said earlier to you, and this is not in my notes, but we need this as a church. I said to you that Jesus walked upon the earth 40 days after He resurrected, and on the 40th day He ascended up to His Father. It was 10 days later that these disciples and these 120 total Christians dedicated to do the work of God. The first organized New Testament church is in Acts 2. It involved 120 people. And the Bible says that these 120 were in that room, and they were in that room, and they spent every day together for 10 days. Now I'll ask you a question. If you say no, don't say it out loud. But all the different personalities we have in here and the different opinions, some of you like chocolate ice cream, some like vanilla, some don't like ice cream at all. Some are Democrats, some are Republicans, some are independent, some just vote whatever the Lord leads them to vote. We're just all different. Some of you are got an education, you went to college or you went to technical school, you went to Bible college like I did, or you just went to high school, and some didn't even finish high school. We're just all different in here. Some of us in here lives in nice homes, some of us live in homes that we probably wouldn't get a whole lot of money for if we tried to sell it. Some of us drive new cars, some of us hope one day we will drive a new car. We're just all different. Some of us like the Falcons, some of us don't. Some of us are Bulldog fans and some of us are little Bumblebee Tech fans. Can you imagine for 10 days, Brother Albert, we just all lived together? You know what it's going to take for us as a church to get along? I sense it sometimes as a pastor. I think, oh, the Spirit's not right there. And I pray. If I think the Spirit's not right in somebody, I pray for you. But you know, can you imagine, what's going to keep us together as a church? What's going to keep us close as a church? It's going to be unity. Unity. Now, today we sung, and when we sung in unison. We sung together. But we didn't sing in unity because some sung in an G key, an F key, and some sung in the key ain't even been invented yet. We sang in unison, but we sure didn't sing in unity. Okay? So what I'm saying is, if you take a bobcat, or let's take a wild mean dog, and then take a tomcat, and you tie their tails together, and you hang them over a clothesline, you got unison. You got unison, but you don't have unity. You understand? Because you tie their tails together, what are they going to be doing? They're going to be fighting. We need unity. The Bible says in verse 1, they were what? In one accord. Some of you didn't know that Honda published manufactured cars in those days. You tell me how 120 people got in one Honda Accord. Can you? No, that's not what it means. It means unity. They were in one spirit. They were in not only in unison, but they were in unity. And I'm telling you, our church needs to have unity, amen. And when we have unity, we can work together and do great things for the Lord. But the Bible says while they're in unity, 10 days praying and seeking God's promise, His fulfillment of the promise of the Holy Spirit coming, not knowing when it would come. They had no idea they would come at the time of Pentecost. I don't believe they did. But they waited for 10 days on God's promise. Sometimes you have to wait on God to answer your prayer, don't you? I've been in those 10-day spans where I wanted God to answer it on the first day, and He didn't do it the second day either, third or fourth or fifth day. And by the time it got the 10th day, then he showed up what I thought. So about time, Lord. I needed it 9 days ago. Amen. I know You're holy. You never think that. But sometimes I want my prayers answered now. Amen. And so, but 10 days, but they were in unity. And the Bible says, I've got to hurry, the Bible says here that they were in one accord. And when they were in one accord, look what the Bible says. That there was a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind. And it filled all the house where they were sitting. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit's descent from heaven caused a tremendous noise like a mighty rushing wind. I've heard preachers preach. I've heard people say, boy, I wish I was there that day when that mighty rushing wind hit them disciples and hit those 120 people. The Bible did not say there was a wind during the day of Pentecost. There was a sound like a wind. Are you with me? There was a sound like a mighty rushing wind. The sound was the Holy Spirit descending from heaven. And you know, we experience wind coming from a horizontal direction, don't we? East or west, north, south, vice versa, horizontally. This wind was vertical. It went down. Why did it come down? Because it came from God. Jesus said, did I not read it to you? He said, for John 14, I will pray the Father and He shall give you another comforter. John 15, but when the comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, He will testify of me. The Holy Spirit came from heaven. He came from God. He is a gift of God. Amen. He came down vertically, but it was not a wind. Their hair wasn't blown. To and fro. There was no wind. There was a sound of a mighty rushing wind. And the Bible says that this sound of a mighty rushing wind, the sound came down upon them. You know, in the Bible, the wind is always a picture of the Holy Spirit. In the Old Testament and New Testament, and I won't go there for the sake of time, but you can read many scriptures. You remember when Jesus told Nicodemus, the wind listeth wherever it will? He was talking about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is always, or wind has always been a picture of the Holy Spirit. The sound. Number two, look at the sights of Pentecost. Give me the few moments. The sights of Pentecost. Look at verse number 3. Now we see the sound of this mighty rushing wind. Look at the sights of Pentecost. And there appeared visually unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it's set upon each of them. The Bible says that after there was a sound, there was a sight. Let me tell you about the Word of God. God has told you and I that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing the Word of God. You and I are not to walk by sight. We are to walk by faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. We are, as God's people, to not walk by sight or signs. We are to walk by faith. The very first thing that happened was a sound, not a sight. Now, you know what happened when you got saved? You were blind before you met the Lord. Can I get a witness? You were blind in your sin. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. Spiritually speaking, we were children of the night, darkness, blind in sin. But what happened is we heard something first. Can I get a witness? We heard the gospel. We heard the sound, the gospel trumpet. We heard and we believed. And after we heard the sound, then we received our sight. Sound came first and then sight. Faith always comes before blessings. Faith always comes before God honors you. We've got to walk by faith, not by sight. Lord, you show me how you're going to work this out and then I'll serve you. No, you say, Lord, I don't know how you are, but I believe you are, but I'm just going to go ahead and serve you anyway. You don't take a piece of and you write down everything that you won't see done in your life, everything that you're going to do for the Lord, and everything you want to have, all your dreams and aspirations and all your cares and all the things you want to see done, and then say, okay, Lord, on the very bottom here, let me write you a line, Lord, I'd like for you on this dotted line or on the line here, I want you to sign your name in agreement. Now what you do is you take a blank piece of paper. You say, Lord, I don't know what you want me to do. I don't know what you're going to do in my life. But Lord, I'm going to sign my name. I'm going to sign Lee Benton. Lord, there's my name. I've surrendered my will to you. You fill out the paper. You fill the paper out. Most Christians are living here. God, sign up with me. Lord, come on, get in agreement with me. We need to be here. Lord, your will be done. Amen? So the sounds and the sights. The sights was as 120 were gathered in this upper room and something very unusual happened. Very unusual. From heaven and upon them came cloven tongues. I've heard people say that fire came down from heaven. There's no scripture for that. The Bible, look at verse 3, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues like. They're trying to describe what it was like. It was like fire, but it was not fire. Fire did not come down from heaven upon these 120. Cloven tongues did. What's the word cloven mean? Cloven means parted. Parted does not mean that these tongues, and I literally believe that tongues, the shape of human tongues, came down from heaven. And they were not divided or parted tongues, but that these tongues were parted to every believer in there. All these tongues, cloven tongues that came down from heaven, went upon each of the 120. And each was given the gift of speaking another language. Not talking as if they got a mouth full of rocks. Not jibber jabber. Not when they was praying, dear Lord, we thank you for this day. And oh God, there's no one like you. You're the greatest in the bad. No. I've been practicing. Going down the road. That's better than some of the things I want to say when I'm going down the road in this traffic. But it's not that. Let me read this so if you don't come back next Sunday because you're mad, I want you to go to verse 8. Verse 8, same chapter. These are the people that are being ministered to in Jerusalem. These 120 got filled up with the Holy Spirit and they're out ministering. And here's what these old sinners said. And how hear we every man in our own tongue? And in verse number 9 and verse 10 and verse 11, it shares with you the different languages they spoke. The Bible thought the Word of God. God thought in His Word He better put every language that they spoke. These people were, this Jerusalem was so packed with people for the feast from every nation, from so many different languages they spoke. And how in the world, these Hebrews spoke Hebrew. How were they going to go out, these 120 being the first witnesses, the first church, how were they going to go out to others who couldn't understand what they were saying? You ever talk to somebody and they don't understand you, you don't understand them? If you've been to McDonald's lately, you have. Hey, man, tell my wife, check the order, dear. Just check it. Now, I'm not being critical at all. If I was over in their country, they'd think I couldn't talk right either. I mean, I got a lot of people who can't understand me, and I talk English. Amen. They said, what did he say? You know, you may live here and say, I didn't get that. I don't know what he said. You know, but listen, this is a different language, different tongue. The speeches at Pentecost, the Bible says they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. When did they start speaking these different languages? After the Holy Spirit ascended in verse number 2. Suddenly there came a sound from heaven, and it filled the house where they were sitting. And then these cloven tongues came down, and each 120 was touched with the ability to speak another language. They brag on Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone had nothing on the Holy Ghost that day. Learn a language in 1 year. Learn a language in 5 minutes. Amen. Holy Spirit, get it done. Amen. Don't you believe God can do anything? I do. I believe God can do anything. And He caused these people to be able to speak in many different languages. Verse 9, 10, 11. Why? Because the gospel had to be preached to every tongue, every nation, no matter the color of skin, no matter where they lived and where they worked and what they did. Every person had to hear the gospel, because the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How can they call upon the name? They must hear the gospel. How can they hear the gospel if it's not in their language? God gave them the ability to speak these different languages. And these disciples received the Holy Spirit, His touch, and they began to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. The sounds, the sights, and then the speeches. The speeches. I want to say to you, and I'm going to stop there, but I'm going to say to you that as we jump into chapter 2, and there's a lot that's going to be said in chapter 2. As we get into chapter 2, I don't want you to miss next Sunday, Lord willing, if the creek don't rise, as Grandma used to say. Lord willing, we'll be right there in Acts 2 and finishing up. There's a lot to be said in Acts 2. We might be in it for 3 or 4 Sundays. But I don't want you to live in an era about the gift of the Holy Spirit. I want you to understand, when your preacher says immediately when you're saved, you receive the Holy Spirit, and people say, oh no, you get saved and then later on you get the Holy Spirit, and then you can lose them and then you get them back again. And when you get the Holy Spirit, you'll know it, because you'll roll around on the floor and you'll hang from the light fixtures and you'll talk like you got a mouth full of rocks. No. The Bible says to not be drunken with wine. You know what happens when people do those crazy things in churches? And they are crazy. They're not of the Lord. They're carnal. They're fleshly. You know what they do? You know what it looks like? It looks like what some of you used to look like before you met the Lord and you loved the bottle. They look drunk. They look drunk. They're out of order. But the Bible says, Ephesians 5:18, don't be drunk with wine, where is access, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. When you get filled with the Holy Spirit and you are following the leadership of the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit has control in your life, and you're praying every day, you're reading your Bible, and you're saying, Holy Spirit, give me liberty, give me guidance, give me wisdom. I want to follow you. I don't want to follow what I feel or what I think or what I think I know. I want to follow you and you alone, because you're the one that was given to me since I've been saved to lead me into all truth. So I'm going to follow you, Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, you have free reign in my life. Holy Spirit, I surrender to you, and I want you to use me. Whether I'm witnessing down at the Wally World or down at the Shell gas station, or I'm witnessing there among my family at the family reunion, or down there on the road at the farmer's market, or even in church, where when I witness, when I testify, when I sing, when I preach, oh, Holy Spirit, touch me. Help me not to do the things that I want to do, but help me just to follow your leadership. You know how many less mistakes we would have made in our Christian life if we had just followed the leadership of the Holy Spirit. A whole lot. A whole lot. Just a whole lot. Brother Chris, how many mistakes you think you wouldn't have made if you'd have followed the Holy Ghost? How many mistakes, Brother Keith, you think you wouldn't have made if we'd just followed the Holy Ghost? Oh, man, I can't even give you a number of the mistakes I wouldn't have made if I'd have just waited on Holy Spirit's direction. Thank God for Holy Spirit. Sometimes I pray and I always thank the Lord. Miss Sarah, if you'll come, I'll pray and I'll say, thank you, Father, for the plan of salvation. You're the one that planned it out the way it is. You're the one that sent your Son. You're the one that planned it out He would die on a cross, and that through repentance and confession that He's our Lord and Savior, we can be saved. Thank you, Father. Then I say, thank you, Jesus, the Son of God. You're the one that shed your blood. You were the perfect, spotless Lamb that shed your blood for our sins, because our blood was contaminated with sin. We're unholy. We're unrighteous. And unrighteous, unholy people cannot go and spend eternity with a holy God. We must be washed. Thank you, Jesus. And then I'll say, Holy Spirit, I want to thank you for your leadership, your guidance. You're the one that comforts me when my heart is broken. You're the one that speaks to my heart when I'm not doing right. When I'm going down the road and my thought's not right, my words are not right, my attitude, my action, reaction is not right. Holy Spirit, you're the one that tugs on my heart and says, hey, that's not pleasing unto your Father. What do you think Jesus thinks about that? He died for you. He loved you so much that He saved you from a devil's hell. That's not pleasing unto your Savior. And it helps me repent. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Don't be afraid of Holy Spirit. I remember my nephew was riding down the road, and he was just a little fella. And I believe it was Hayden was the one that said this, or Dalton. I believe it was Hayden. But he was riding down the road, and he's just a little thing. And he said, they're talking about ghosts or something. And he said, I'm afraid of all the ghosts except one. Well, I figure he may be Casper. He's always funny and nice, it seemed to be. And my brother said, which one's that? He said, Holy Ghost. You know, when a preacher or a church talks about Holy Spirit, everybody like, he's getting a little wild there. He's fixing to do something crazy. He's talking about Holy Spirit. Some of you get around Brother Tim, he talks about the Holy Spirit too much. You get a little nervous. He's okay. He's on page with the preacher. If he wouldn't, I'd call him out. He knows. They said, preacher, let me know if I'm in error. I said, I will. And he talks about the Holy Spirit. Some of you get a little tense. Hey, thank God for Holy Spirit. Thank God for Holy Ghost. And if the Holy Ghost don't have preeminence in our services and our ministries and our lives, we're going to be failures. We need Holy Spirit's touch. We need His leadership. Amen? So I want to ask you today, are you filled with the Holy Spirit? Is He controlling your life? Is He controlling your life? Won't you let Him have preeminence in your life today? Surrender to His will. Amen? And say, Holy Spirit, from now on, I'm going to quit going my way, the way I think's right, the way it looks good to me, not the five senses of the flesh. That's how we live. What smells good, what looks good, what feels good, what sounds good, what hears good. Feels good, those five senses. I hope I got all five of them. That's how a lot of times we live our lives. Well, it looks good. This man won't sell me a car, and he said this, and I thought, boy, that sounds good. A lot of teenagers got in trouble because something felt good, and they followed that feeling. Don't walk according to your senses of your flesh. Walk according to the Holy Spirit's leadership. It'll change your life. Amen.
Thank you so much for listening to the sermon today. We hope and pray that you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. The Bible says in the Gospel of John, chapter 3, verse 16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The Bible says in John, chapter number 14, that Jesus saith unto them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Our prayer here at Open Door Baptist Church is that you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. The Bible says that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. No matter what you've done, no matter where you've been, Jesus Christ loves you. He died for you, and He's more than capable and more than willing to cleanse you from unrighteousness and from your sins and make you a child of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The Bible says if you repent, turn from your sin, and turn to Jesus Christ, and by faith believe in His death, His burial, and His resurrection for your salvation, you too can be saved. Our prayer is that you think upon this and that very soon you'll make an eternal decision to receive Jesus as your personal Savior. Thank you so much.